Sri Ramanashramam today and tomorrow. Sri Ramanashramam in Tiruvannamalai, South India, has been a source of spiritual inspiration and the spiritual home to countless seekers worldwide ever since Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi settled there in 1922 and the ashram grew up around him. In the will approved by the Maharishi, it was stated that the management of Sri Ramanashramam would continue under the guidance of the descendants of Bhagavan's brother, Niranjananda Swami. Thus, the only son of Sri Niranjananda Swami, Sri T.N. Venkatraman, succeeded his father. Then, in 1994, Sri T.N. Venkatraman's eldest son, Sri V.S. Ramanan, succeeded his father. Next in line is Sri Venkatramanan, who presently lives in the USA and who serves as a medical doctor in Maryland. At the 65th Mahanirvana program at Arunachala Ashrama in Queens, New York City on April 18th, Dr. Venkatramanan kindly accepted our invitation to speak to us about the vision and guiding principles of Sri Ramanashramam, its present activities and those planned for the future. His talk so convincingly assured us all that the traditions established in Sri Ramanashramam by Bhagavan Ramana himself will continue to be honored and carried forth into the future, that we decided to print it for all to read. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya. Dear fellow devotees and children of our Sadguru Ramana, I am happy to spend this auspicious occasion with some of the best devotees of Bhagavan Ramana and a model satsang group. The advent of Bhagavan at Arunachala opened the path for our spiritual journey in Jnana Marga and eventual Jivan Mukti. Today, I stand before you representing the current president, Sri V. Sundara Ramanan, who I am sure that many of you may not know. He is a self-effacing person who works in the background without becoming a source of distraction for the visiting devotees. Thus, he keeps alive the tradition set by the first Sarvadhikari, Niranjananda Swami, who rarely came into the presence of Sri Bhagavan, but who worked quietly, taking care of the day-to-day activities of the ashram. That was his sadhana. To be doing some routine, mundane work while the highest spiritual drama was happening in the next room. The focus then and today in Sri Ramanashramam has always been only on Bhagavan and his devotees. All of you who have been reading the ashram's monthly newsletter, Saranagati, would be following a good series of articles on the life of the previous president, Sri T.N. Venkatraman, later known as Swami Ramanananda. His struggles to preserve the character of our beloved ashram are legendary. In the immediate years after the Mahanirvana of Sri Bhagavan, he had to face 40 court cases to prevent the ashram from being taken over by government departments. He was alive to see the final judgment of the Madras High Court in favor of the ashram administration in 2006. The ashram is now run by a board of trustees. The hereditary president, with his two appointed trustees, along with the two government trustees. I'm sure that all of you who have visited Sri Ramanashramam know that it is a very unique place. Bhagavan chose the then least desirable spot at the foot of Arunachala, a cremation ghat where his mother was buried. However, by the Jnani's presence, it is now the holiest and most desirable place in the world for an earnest seeker to attain spiritual fulfillment. It is the devotee's spiritual home where they are welcome at all times. In the ashram, a devotee is given 100% freedom to pursue his or her spiritual activities. No impositions such as seva, fixed meditation times or monetary transactions are imposed. Every visitor is treated the same, including some four-legged ones and some with wings. I am glad to report to you that your spiritual home continues to thrive, and if I may use a totally non-advaitic term, grow in strength. The following are some of the few developments of recent years. All these activities are only a continuation and expansion of the projects from Sri Bhagavan's time. Everything happens only by His grace, and we are mere observers of what we view as daily miracles. 1. Veda Patasala and Puja. The Veda Patasala continues to attract new students due to the excellent teaching by our Ganapatikal Sri Sindhal. The tuition-free ashram Veda Patasala is considered to be one of the country's best centers of learning. Qualified students are attracted here from many states in India. Steps have been taken to make it one of the chief examination centers toward final degrees. A new extension was recently added to accommodate more students. The students are also taught the English language. On completion of their course, they are awarded a lump sum of money. One has to mention the legacy of Major Chadwick, who supported this cause during tough financial times. 2 new Achakas, Sri Devaspati and Sri Udaya, the best performing graduates from our own Veda Patasala, have been appointed to perform daily pujas to the shrines of Bhagavan and Matrubhudeshwara. Their devotion and sense of punctuality continues to impress devotees. 2. Goshala. The ashram Goshala, started by our own Kamadhenu, Lakshmi the cow, continues to grow in strength. As per Bhagavan's instructions, a wonderful Goshala with teak wood and granite was built in those days when the other buildings in the ashram, including Mother's Shrine, had thatched roofs. Bhagavan's exact words of instruction to Annamalai Swami were, "If you build this cowshed for Lakshmi, we will get the necessary punya, merit, to build a bookstore, a dining room, and a shrine for Mother. All this will happen in due course. This area will eventually become a town. Under the personal stewardship of my uncle Mani, more varieties of native Indian cows are being added to preserve the genetic purity of the herd. The surplus organic milk is donated to local schools and to an orphanage. Gosam Rakshana has also been started. This provides a place for the old cows to spend their last days in peace. In the future, the ashram will have its own old cows retreat for the devotees to see. 3. Ashram Kitchen. Ashram Prasadam is part of the spiritual experience in Sri Ramanashramam. We have added new cooks and helpers. The vegetables and fruits are supplied from a reputable retailer, ensuring that even good non-seasonal vegetables are available. Strict hygiene principles of food handling are enforced. More mechanized techniques, including automatic vegetable cutting machines, steam cookers, chapati machines, etc., have been introduced. Industrial design utensil dishwashers will be introduced soon. All this has been slowly introduced to ensure the continuation of the homely character of the kitchen and preservation of employment for the old workers. The same quality of food and hygiene is also maintained for daily Narayana Seva. 4. Internet webpage publications. Our Bhagavan used scientific terms which were modern at this time to explain complex Advaitic concepts. To name a few, the prism, splitting the light into rainbow colors, electricity and fan, and the cinema picture and the screen. That has been an inspiration for our ashram website, sriramanamaharishi.org, and the use of modern electronic methods in the propagation of Bhagavan's teachings. This is presently managed under the leadership of Sri Vaidyanathan, who returned to India from USA after living here for 38 years, and the help of local talents. Along with English, the website is available in 11 other languages, with more languages being added on a regular basis, along with basic information about the ashram and Bhagavan's teachings. It is also possible to reserve accommodation in the ashram online. One can browse passages from books, purchase books, photographs, audio and video CDs and DVDs online. The ashram publications continue to be priced reasonably to ensure affordability. Various ashram functions, including Aradhana and Jayanti Puja, are broadcast live through our website. The limiting factor is the low bandwidth. I look forward to a day when there will be live transmission of the daily puja and evening parayana. To reduce piracy and to promote ebooks, we have over 60 titles available on Kindle and iBooks. Several new titles will be made available soon. Our present goal is to have at least 10 titles in every important world and Indian language available online. The first book in Mandarin came out 3 months ago. 5. Media. The Mountain Path, started by Arthur Osborne, continues to maintain the same high standard of its founder. The lofty spiritual quality of the quarterly magazine has been strengthened by the subsequent editors, including Vishwanatha Swamigal, Lucia Osborne, Professor K. Swaminathan, and V. Ganesan. Each editor brought a unique flavor to the magazine. The editorials written by the current editor, Chris Quilkey, are inspiring. It is now possible to read the old issues online. Saranagati is our ashram's monthly e-newsletter, which connects the devotees with the current events of the ashram. It also features some serious spiritual articles. The present editor, Michael Heiberger, is a transplant from USA. He maintains a high literary quality and produces dazzling photographs from the ashram. In 1971, Professor K. Swaminathan said these words on the release of Bhagavan's commemorative stamp: "Sri Ramana Maharishi, resplendent like the midday sun, belongs to all mankind, and none of us can claim a preferential share in the plenitude of his grace." The release of the commemorative stamp will turn a million eyes towards the Jnana Bhanu, son of knowledge of the modern age. Those bright, calm, piercing eyes, tender like a mother's, even in a photograph, comfort, sustain and purify the hearts of all beholders. These words are the inspiration for our Facebook page, with a slightly more ambitious aim of turning several more millions of eyes towards Bhagavan. The ashram's official Facebook page has frequent posts with dazzling photographs propagating Sri Bhagavan's message to remote corners of the world and especially to the youth of the world. It is heartening to see people from places like Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia showing interest in Bhagavan's teachings. A very high standard for the posted media is maintained by an editorial board. 6. Dispensary. There are 2 full-time physicians running an active outpatient department 6 days a week. Over 100 patients a day are treated with free medicines, minor wound repairs, etc. Ophthalmology camps are held monthly and patients undergo free cataract surgeries. 7. Granthalaya, auditorium. The ashram's library was started with a small cupboard in the old hall. Bhagavan was the first librarian, personally handing out books to devotees to read in response to some of the questions. Later on, some of the distinguished librarians have included Dev Rajamudaliar and Arthur Osborne. Since 1980, the library building was inside the Morvey compound. To ensure a more efficient use of this resource and to avoid the spine-chilling experience of crossing the Chengam Road, a new Granthalaya building was built on the northern edge of the ashram at the base of the hill. Over 20,000 books are available for lending. An auditorium was built on the ground floor of the library with a larger-than-life image of Lord Dakshinamurti presiding over all the functions. Spiritual discourses, cultural activities including musical concerts and classical dance programs are regularly conducted there. 8. Guest rooms. Over the years, new guest rooms have gradually been constructed. The old Morvey guest houses have been redesigned and rebuilt with comfortable modern rooms. In the future, we plan to construct a good number of women's guest rooms with 24-hour security. For these and all the present new rooms built, we are using up-to-date energy conservation techniques. Green initiatives. How can Bhagavan's abode be anything but green? He used to recycle everything. For example, he insisted that even vegetable stacks should be cooked and eaten. He personally stitched notebooks out of scrap paper and used his pencils down to the last millimeter. One remembers him picking up some fallen grains outside the kitchen, saying, "We all have to answer to our Nachala." Following this example, we have put solar panels on the roofs of the shrines, which supply 100% of the power for the shrines. Wastewater is recycled and used to water the gardens. From cow manure, biogas is produced for cooking. These are only a few of the environmental preservation steps we are at present taking in the ashram. Also, at Skandashram and Virupaksha Cave, we have planted many new plants and trees. College students volunteer the services to maintain the vegetation on the hill. One can almost walk all the way from the ashram up to Skandashram under the shade of the trees planted and maintained by the ashram. Thiruvannamalai, especially Ramana Nagar, is our Vrindavan. We have to preserve its history at all costs. We do not desire that commercial development should be allowed to destroy the unique atmosphere around the ashram. Efforts are being made by the ashram to preserve the greenery around the ashram. I would like to end this talk with the following advice given by Niranjananda Swami on his deathbed to my grandfather. It has become the guiding principle and mission statement for the administration. I am departing with a clear conscience and clean hands. I have not utilized even a pie of the ashram funds for my own benefit. Everything here belongs to Bhagavan and should be guarded with care and vigilance. As such, devote yourself, heart and soul, to the service of the Lord, and in return, He will shower His grace on you. Be sincere and truthful to the core of your heart. Uphold our revered ancient traditions in the working of this ashramam, as I have upheld them all my life. I welcome any new ideas in person, today or by email. Thanks for your attention. Namo Ramana.